trying to get to work and you need to grab a tarp, but it's just too far.
Use a bike rack.
If you riding your bike and it's getting kind of dark and you want to grab a tarp,
use a bike rack.
Bring it down, you pull the bar, put it on.
Hello and welcome to the October 2011 edition of the Portland Afoot Podcast, where we deliver news and stories on transit and the low-car lifestyle. I'm Lillian, producer.
I'm Michael, your editor.
Today we're talking about a combination that's as delicious as peanut butter and jelly, and sometimes as sticky, bikes and transit.
Mm.
This month's multimodal-themed podcast is in honor of TriMet's new regional trip planner.
Have you seen this thing, Lily?
Yeah, I have. I actually used it to plan a bunch of hypothetical trips in my life.
What were those trips? Where'd you go?
I went from my house to Reed, which is my normal commute, which is 10 miles on the bike and in practical on the bus.
I differ. Oh, we're also going to talk about the bike and rides. This is when you ride your bike to the TriMet station, park your bike in this sort of locked cage, pay a few cents an hour for it, and then hop on the max.
We're also going to debate whether or not bikes are good or bad for TriMet in general.
Yeah. And then we'll do the commute tip of the month and some cute TriMet tweets. And finally, the only on the bus story, which will actually be a blast from the past to fit with the multimodal theme.
All right, let's get started.
So, the regional trip planner, we should say specifically what it is. It is I'm sure that everybody who's lived in Portland without a car for any length of time has used the TriMet trip planner. You enter one address and another address, and it tells you the best way to get from A to B, which is something that it is shockingly rare in other cities, that there are all these cities who just, they put their freaking PDF bus schedules on the site.
And you have to figure it all out yourself.
Yeah, it is hell. Compared to this wonderful system that they've had in place for, I don't know,
which 10 years. Increasingly in other cities, what's replaced it is that Google Maps is
right.
Now doing
right.
A trip planner for a lot of transit services. But Portland was actually the first city to have that trip planner because we already had all our data online.
I don't know if they were the first to have the trip planner. I could be wrong.
We were the first to have the Google trip planner. The pilot.
And the reason for that was that we actually called Google. That Bibiana McHugh at TriMet was like, got in touch with somebody at Google and was like, let's do this thing. And that became the basis of the general transit feed specification, which is this new standard for expressing when a bus is going to show up at a given stop in this like standardized system that anybody, including Google or your favorite PDX bus or Portland Transport app, can download.
And in general, Portland just loves these trip planners, right? Because we also had bicycle.org before Google Bike Directions came out, which was run lovingly by just a local couple that really wanted to have good, solid bike planning directions. And for years, they slaved away on Bicycle, which is bycycle.org, which is no longer around, unfortunately. And it was one of the best ways to plan a bike trip. And here was the key feature that made it really good. It used the normal bike map, so you'd be able to kind of preferentially get bike streets, but it would let you choose if you were going to go, if you would prefer a safer route or a quicker route. So if you are like, whatever it takes me 2 miles extra, I'd rather take the Springwater overtaking, you know, 7th Avenue any day, it would lead you on that route. And that's kind of what the new regional trip planner for TriMet is doing.
Yeah, Wyatt Baldwin is the guy that was the main developer behind that. And TriMet actually hired him, though he wasn't working on this project. But they took that concept, and they also built this around something that they use in the Atlanta trip planner. So Atlanta also has a multimodal trip planner that was actually developed by a third-party nonprofit. They've got a bike triangle that if you're planning a trip that involves a bike on this trip planner, which you can, which is, like, it's awesome that TriMet has thought to just include bike-only trips. You can use plan a bike-only trip on the trip planner. It's now the best way to do that.
Which I will say, as previously someone who was trying to, like, meld biking and transit, I would always just have to tell it that I was willing to walk the maximum amount, right? Because it's like, because I think the maximum was like 1.5 miles, like is kind of unreasonable walking. You have to be a pretty avid walker to be comfortable with that. But on a bike is nothing. But that was still like, now you can go up to like 20 miles or something that you're willing to bike on this, and you can plan a bike only trip too. So it's pretty exciting. So the bike triangle.
Yeah, bike triangle. So there are three corners to the bike triangle. And you can actually, like, click and drag on this dot. So if you want a very safe route, you can click in towards the safety corner. And if you want a very fast route, you drag toward the speed corner. If you want a flat route, you drag toward the flatness corner. And these are based on things like the cube of the rise of the average trip segment. And it's very complicated. They've put a lot of thought into this.
Speed assumes 11.2 miles on a flat surface, which is slightly disturbing to me as a very slow biker. Because Michael's biked with me before. I think he can attest to the fact I probably...
She's a slow biker.
I probably never go 11.2 miles on my bike unless I'm going downhill with a tailwind. So, that was a little disturbing to me, but, I'll just have to upgrade the number of minutes it predicts for me at all times. But so what's kind of interesting about this triangle when you look at it, it makes no intuitive sense whatsoever. Nothing at all about it makes sense.
Lily promised she was going to have stronger than usual opinions today.
And it's... what is Q? Okay, so the triangle, when you look at it, it has three colors. It has this really, like, puke orange color.
Oh, boy.
This lime green color and this blue color. And then there's a triangle, and it says QFS. And there's no key anywhere to explain to you what that means.
So this is the beta version of this trip planner. It was designed by developers
who have no idea what a good thing looks like. So
they understand the concept. I think it is, they are not experts in user interface, and I think that, so once you click on the dot and start moving it around, then this little thing helpfully appears saying quickest, flattest, safest, and you're like, oh, I understand this completely, but I don't know how. Anyway, so I think my takeaway from this is that you should just, it's a great tool if you use it. I'm afraid that in the current form, it's not going to be highly used. It's a little bit hard to find.
Well, it's just because it's beta, right? You have to go to the...
Right.
Yep. So to find this, you go to the TriMet's main webpage and you click on Regional Trip Planner, which is now currently...
That's
like
their brand for this new thing. It's
called at the bottom.
RTP. So it's also, the website is rtp.trimet.org.
Which is great, because we need more acronyms in the land of TriMet. Oh, yeah, and the new Trip Planner includes Zipcar locations on it. Yeah, that's worth mentioning.
And actually, it's going to soon include an API, we are told, that by TriMet, that will let you find out if a Zipcar is available, right, in the interface. And there will be other apps that will be able to, third-party apps that will be able to build in whether you can get off the bus and hop in a Zipcar and so on immediately.
So are you going to use this now to plan your bicycle rides, or are you going to use...
You know, I didn't before. Very rarely. Well, not for my bike rides. I mean... Yeah. I actually...
Do you use Google's for your transit ride as well?
I use my mobile app for almost everything. So that's why I'm looking... That's why it's so great that this is open source. We were talking about how this isn't super usable. And the thing that TriMet should be doing is not specializing in design and usability. They're not a usability agency. They're a transit agency. They should be specializing in getting this information public, which is exactly what they're doing. And they should be letting other smart people come up with cool ways to present it. And so I am looking forward to those next generation of mobile apps that will grab all this stuff and tell me not only how to get places, but also, like, how many calories it'll burn and, like, tell me which food cart to go to as a result. So, I don't know. Whatever. It'll be great.
I'll pass that on to my friend that's an iPhone developer.
Yes, you should.
I'll be like, okay, Andrew, here we go. We need food cart stats.
Yes.
In our transit app.
And that's great policy on TriMet's part. And they're actually talking the other agencies who have been hidebound about this, like CTRAN, into putting their data in a place that it can be grabbed by third parties. And so we'll be able to plug in a trip all the way from Wilsonville to Battleground.
We're going to talk about bike and rides now. Now while we're talking about the wonders of bringing your bike onto TriMet. So TriMet is trying to encourage us as... transit and bike combo users to stop bringing our bike on transit and bring our bike to transit and leave it there. So their big, masterful thing is...
Why does TriMet want us to not have our bikes on?
Because they don't want to do a bike car. And currently, bikes take up...
What do you mean, a bike car?
Well, a lot of other cities that have bikes on transit, on trains, will actually have a separate car for bikes, where you have just a very high capacity of bikes.
I've seen them in Germany. Yeah, pictures.
Well, San Francisco's got it. Yeah. And... The bike cars are essentially just a way that if you have such a high volume of people bringing bikes on transit, which we do with the Max, then you're able to, like, kind of put them all in one place and put a high volume of them in. Currently, TriMet is in the business of moving people, not bikes, right? Like, it's not their job to move all of our bikes. But their service is not, in my opinion, good enough to get us all where we want to go as efficiently as we can. And it's made more efficient by bikes. So what they're trying to do is kind of meet us halfway, which is... They just built all these bike and rides as opposed to park and rides. Are trying to get us to bring our bikes to our first station, leave it, get on the train, and then, I guess, magically appear at our end destination by walking or something else.
Yeah, so it's just a few pennies an hour to use these things. So it's a locked cage. So the idea is that people don't want to leave their bike at the Sunset Transit Center during the day because it might get looted, and that may be true. So that if they've got a really nice bike, especially, they're supposed to get a card, get into the cage with their card, so it marks the time, roll their bike in, leave it in the cage, then catch it on the way back. So this way is a way to get you to bike to the transit center instead of parking your car for free in their free parking lot that is always overflowing because it's free, and then ride the Max. And they also don't want you to take your bike with you and then carry it downtown with you and park it downtown in your office or whatever. They would rather have you tax the system less by parking it in this thing. And to pay for the operation of this electronic system that lets you in and out, they charge a few cents.
And this is based on cities in Europe that they found, because they essentially can't look to any more U.S. cities for this volume of bike traffic, because we've gotten to so many bikes in Portland.
I didn't know that.
That they just don't have any U.S. kind of neighbors to look at. So they started looking at cities in Europe, and what they found is that while there's this really high number of people that ride their bikes in Amsterdam, in Copenhagen, in Berlin, in Munich, all of these cities... kind of a large number of people ride a bike to the transit center, lock it up, and then just take transit without their bike with them, and then have another bike on the other side or walk to their end destination on the other side.
So TriMet talked the federal government into giving it $1.4 million of stimulus money back in the days of stimulus. And TriMet built these three stations at the Gresham, the Beaverton, and the Sunset Transit Centers. And right now, and so the Sunset Transit Center was the first to open, and it has really struggled to draw people. It's been open for more than a year now, and they have not yet broken 5 people a day on the average weekday. And there have been some days when they've been above 10. They've got capacity for 74, and they had to remove 7 or so car spots to put this in, so it's pissing off car people. It cost $275,000.
And what we've seen is actually some bikes are locking up outside.
Right, yeah, people still park their freaking bikes in the free staple outside because it's less trouble, which is what I feel like I would probably do. But in any case, I do want this thing to work. And there's better news from the Beaverton Transit Center in that they've got, in September, they had, on their busiest day, they had more than 30 bikes. And on the average weekday, we just got these numbers, they had 25. So that's pretty high usage.
Showing progress.
Right. Beaverton has a freestanding building instead of having it locked in the car thing. Sunset Transit Center sort of has a weird setup for its car stuff anyway. It's not super integrated with the whole area.
Here's the key thing with this. You have to be signed up with a card to use this.
Right.
And like that's sort of the key thing. I think one of the ease of riding a bike and taking transit is that you're not having to be signed up for systems and everything.
Right.
We found that the bike lockers, when they were charged at a similar rate back when there was bike lockers, and that's what people were using. As sort of their transit bike connection solution, people were eating the bike lockers up. The BTA had a waiting list for like 2 years long.
In some locations.
Well, they had a waiting list for the entire system that was 2 years long.
Okay, well, now they've added more lockers.
So yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's more.
They've added more lockers and they started charging for them. Originally, the bike lockers were free.
Oh, well, of course, right. Okay, so this brings me to the biggest thing I want to say is that if something is free, people use it. When parking is free at a park and ride, then people will fill up the park and ride and they will demand more parking. Because you're not charging for it, even though it's land that has a lot of value, because it's right next to a freaking transit station.
Right.
So, what they should be doing, in my opinion, is charging for parking spaces at the
car parking spaces,
and they should also be charging for bike parking spaces. Those also cost money. If they want to, if they want to make it free, they can. But it seems to me the things that cost money should be charged for, and it's possible that maybe TriMet should charge for bicycles on the TriMet, because otherwise on the Max, on the bus, if there are other cities that charge, that ask you to have a permit, just like you have a permit for yourself, a pass for yourself, you should have a pass for your bike if you're going to be taking up more space that other people can't use.
Mm.
And I say this as somebody who rides his bike all the time and is a total cheapskate and would be totally pissed off if this happened, but that may be the best policy. That would be the way to stop people their bikes on, is if you stop making it free.
Do you think that we would see a huge decline in transit ridership if we charged for car parking at these park and rides?
I think that that would allow us to... TriMet would make a bunch of money off of it, and if they didn't, it would test the market to see whether maybe that land should be used for real estate that could be developed in transit-oriented ways.
I mostly totally agree with you. So do you think bikes are good or bad for TriMet?
I think that bikes are... great for TriMet. Bikes are the perfect last mile solution. They are that's the technical term for like getting from your stop to your house. And there are all these people who don't want to live right next to a TriMet stop. That is fine. If you can ride a bike, not everybody can do it, but for the people who can do it, it is a perfect solution for just getting that extra 1 mile from your nice home to your transit stop. And as a result, TriMet can invest less in feeder line, bus lines, which are hugely expensive, and more in those trunk lines, make them super frequent, which we do. We have a lot of relatively good frequency trunk lines that are like the 6 and the 75 and the
4.
Yeah, the 4. And just make those really good and then incentivize density so that the people who can't ride bikes can afford to buy a place near that transit.
I totally agree. I mean, I think bikes are a necessary part of any kind of low-car city.
Oh, you're going to disagree.
No. I mean, I think that the kind of issue that we're having with right now is that we can't expect these bike and rides to work because people can't afford two bikes. Like, and that's essentially what you're asking for. Because if you're saying that they're the perfect perfect last mile solution...
Then I'm saying either they have to take their bike on the transit or they have to leave their bike and then they've got another last mile to worry about at the other end.
Right, exactly.
Which is where the bike share comes in. This is the thing that they're talking about doing downtown anyway, where you could have a bike share membership you can pop on and you can get a ride a bike for free for a half hour wherever you're going.
Except that you were just talking about the fact that you're lazy and you would probably lock up on the staple because it doesn't require a membership, which is exactly what the bike share is going to be.
Not if they charge me. If they charge me for taking my bike on the Max, I would definitely get the bike share membership.
Well, they're not. I don't think that's in the cards anywhere soon, is charging to take on your bike on the Max. And I feel like currently the bike share is prohibitively expensive for people like me. I don't have any interest in riding a 40-pound bike that costs me $80 a year to have possible access to that I can only ride for half an hour.
You're not a transit rider, though.
I am occasionally. It happens.
Yeah. It's for transit riders. Bike share is for transit riders and car riders. It's not for bicycle. That's what's great about it.
Right. Okay. But, like, I am still served by the transit system as a person that rides my bike.
Right.
And I would like to see a transit system that actually works fluidly with my bike. And TriMet is sort of... and not quite there. Although props to TriMet, something we were talking about is that TriMet is the first transit system that had all of their bus racks. Buses had bike racks on them. And that was due to the Bicycle Transportation Alliance. That was the BTA's first project back in the early 90s.
Which speaks to the bicycle community's friendliness to transit in this city.
Right. Well, we need it.
Yeah.
We need it.
Yeah, that's great.
Sometimes.
They're working on those 3 bike racks. They're still testing them. slowly.
Well, do you guys know what the issue with the three bike racks is? Do you know, Michael? Do we want to go into this? Should we go into it? Maybe we shouldn't go into it. Essentially, Portland has really tiny blocks because we like expensive real estate, which makes it very hard to have the bike racks that fit three bikes on them. It's the beginning and the end of the story, I think.
Yep.
Is that all we were going to talk about with bikes in transit?
Yeah, I think so.
Fun times? All right. Well, what's the commute tip of the month?
The commute tip of the month, Anderson, is a multimodal commute tip. If you are carrying your bicycle on the Max, on the Type 1 Max, these are the old ones with the high floors, and you have to nobody likes to carry their bicycle. Nobody even likes to ride these old ones. But if you have to, you carry it up to the platform, and then there's no place to hang your bike. So, and if you can't brace it against the wall because it's already crowded, here's what you need to do. You need to wedge one foot under the inside of the back wheel, and you need to wedge the other foot under the inside of the front wheel. So you're sort of straddling a little bit and sticking your feet in on the inside of your two wheels on your bicycle. And once you do this...
Second position in ballet.
All right. All you ballet fans will know that. Once you've done this, then not only will your bike not be able to roll in either direction, but you will have your own little thing to lean on. And so you won't fall over either in the turning, twisting train. That's the way to carry your bike on the Type 1 Max. You want to do some cute TriMet tweets?
Yes, as always, our TriMet tweets.
I don't think you should say hashtag TriMet.
Okay, I won't say hashtag TriMet.
Okay.
You don't like it?
I'm the editor.
He's editing my production. Okay. Famous Potato says, smart moments telling other people riding the Max that you have an exclusion from the train for behavior. TriMet. Mike's Rigsley, sorry dude on the TriMet bus, these aren't headphones I'm wearing. I prefer to think of them as asshat filters. Bye-bye. And on a happier note, Shane Vaughn says, I like it when my bus driver says, all right, off we go. Makes me feel like a kid again.
Nice. We're going to move now to the Only on the Bus segment, where I will read from a recent Only on the Bus thing. Only this time it's not recent. This is the Only on the Bus story from the print edition of Portland Afoot, from the very first public issue, from the launch edition, because it is in keeping with our multimodal theme today. The story is by Dan. It's about TriMet's bus number 6. Here's how it begins. He was just the type. Maybe 20s, early 30s. Slender, dark hair, he had immense bike packs on each side of his tire, kind of like a chimpanzee's ass. I had a new baby, and I was sleep-deprived, so I might have been on edge already. I was in my car on Interstate, about to follow a guy ahead of me into the Fred Meyer. The guy on the bike, the guy with the bike packs, is behind me. I'm very conscious of the bike, because I'm a bike commuter. I was probably biking to work then twice a week. Then the guy in front of me inexplicably stops in the parking lot intersection. It kind of left me just hanging there with my back in the road. I'm feeling extremely awkward. I'm angry at the guy in the car in front of me. And then the biker goes past me, and he slaps the back of my car. At that moment, everything changed. You were the person that everybody hates, I think. You were that guy that I read about. I really want to confront him, but you don't confront a biker when you're in the car. Then I see that he's parked at the Lombard bus stop. I run up behind the guy, and I proceed to slap the back of his bike in the same way. That's when I hear the booming female voice. Sir, step away from the bicyclist. It was the bus driver. I didn't even know the bus drivers had PA systems. So I regained my conversational momentum, and she gets on the horn again and says, leave the bicyclist alone. At that point, I felt there had to be this moment of summation. I have got to say something that I want very quickly and succinctly because I keep being interrupted by the bus driver. So, summing up everything I and other people know about self-righteous bicyclists, I said, you know what? You're a douchebag. And he looks at me and says, did you just call me a douchebag? And the whole conversation just evaporated right there. The end.
I'm completely forgotten about that story. That really was a blast from the past.
Yeah, good.
So I think that's all for the October multimodal edition of the Portland Afoot podcast. I'm Lillian Kerbake.
I'm Michael Anderson. If you'd like to send us a comment, email podcast@portlandafoot.org. This podcast has been sponsored without permission by the Weston Awards. They didn't ask to sponsor us, but the Willamette Pedestrian Coalition is having this great party, so we're donating unilaterally our sponsorship slot to this great party that's going to happen on November 5th, a week from Saturday.
You should check it out at wpcwalks.org. I'm Lily, and you can find me on Twitter at Anomalily.
And you can find me at Portland Afoot, all one word.
You can find a Portland Afoot online at portlandafoot.org.
And you can even subscribe there to the monthly newsletter at pdx.be/subscribe.
Thanks, and see you next month.